Welcome back to the 312 Show. I'm your host, Ollie Katz, here alongside Zach Shoshua. We got a great episode in store for you. We got two special guests. We have Penny Fisher coming on first, and then after her, we got Benny Levine. We're going to be talking some all things basketball with Benny, and as well as be addressing a global phenomenon, Bill Clinton selections with Penny, as well as, you know, just going over some more COVID-19 stuff to help you guys at home. Zach, let's hear the news.
So some news here. SNL, for the first time in 45 years, broadcasted a full episode from the actors' homes. That's pretty awesome. I mean, that they can record an episode from their homes. It brought some entertainment, you know, much needed entertainment. Tom Hanks actually did a monologue regarding his personal recovery from COVID. He was one of the first, I guess, celebrities diagnosed with COVID. Also, in worse news, 5.2 million Americans filed for unemployment last week alone. Ollie, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's definitely a true testament to where we are as a country and as a world right now in history. Those are some unprecedented numbers. And it's really, really upsetting to see that, you know, how deeply this is affecting the population of the United States. I mean, we're a country of 350 million people, and in 1 week, 5 million of those 350 are filing for unemployment. You know, it's a true testament to where we are right now, and it is definitely a wake-up call and one of the biggest wake-up calls we have had to experience during these times.
Yeah, well said. In other news, commissioners tell Vice President Mike Pence that college sports won't be back until students return to campus. We already kind of knew that already. The XFL declares bankruptcy. We kind of knew that was going to happen. I didn't see it going the long run. Ollie, did you like the XFL?
Yeah, I said this in the last episode. I was a big fan. Go Renegades, obviously. And, you know, I didn't expect it to last. My mom, funny story, was doing their advertising because she is an online advertiser, and she was in charge of advertising the XFL. And she was like, if this lasts more than 10 weeks, I would be amazed. And she was right.
Yeah. Governor Cuomo advocated that the MLB season take place with no one in the stands because it would be good for the country to watch. Cuomo said response was that it would require a reduction in players' salaries to offset lack of attendance. I can't really see the players playing for less money, but I would love to see baseball right now.
100%. I think it's best
just
for the world.
Something's
right
got to go on. It's boring. It's boring right now.
Yep, and it's just something to bring everyone together. Absolutely. I agree. And I think Cuomo's doing an excellent job in being very vocal and, you know, doing his best to bring the citizens of New York and the citizens of the United States of America together.
Yeah, for sure. He really does a great job of bringing everyone together in these tough times. In other big NFL news, Tom Brady reunites with Rob Gronkowski, a.k.a. Gronk, in Tampa Bay. Patriots still had rights to Gronk, so they traded him and a 7th-round pick to Tampa Bay.
For a 4th, right?
For a 4th, I think. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how Gronk is going to do in his last season. He looked pretty shaky.
Listen,
and I mean, it's Tom and Gronk.
Listen, I think this was one of the things that was a secret, not necessarily a secret between Brady and Tampa, but he was like, all right, listen, what we're going to do here is you're going to give me what I want. And Gronk is his weapon, okay? Him and Gronk achieved amazing things together in New England, and I think that's what he wants. He just wants offensive weapons that he can trust. And I think that, you know, with these younger guys like Godwin and Evans, you know, he's kind of like, okay, these guys are good, they're talented, but I can't trust them. And I think Gronk is just going to be there as a support for him, you know, throwing the ball.
Yeah, and it's never bad to have a reliable, huge target
and one
veteran guy that you've played
with. One of the greatest
tight
ends of all time, not to mention.
Yeah, right there. I mean, can't hurt. All right, that's it for news. Ollie?
All right, we're very excited about this guest. Today we are going to have Penny Fisher on the show. Say what's up, Penny.
Hi, guys. What's up?
Penny is a freshman along with us at Lane Tech High School. Penny, do you want to plug your Instagram or something?
At Penny Fisher, and the Fisher has two eyes.
At Penny Fisher, you heard it here first, two eyes. While you're going and giving her a follow, make sure to follow us on Instagram at the 312 show for notices on giveaways, as well as show releases, as well as some future merchandise updates. Okay, so if you have been on social media in the past few days, you have seen on literally everybody's Instagram stories these photos of Bill Clinton holding a record and surrounded by three other records with some headphones on, and it was a picture made famous. And the website had came out, and it's basically the preface, if you haven't seen it, the preface of the website is you can just pick four albums that you're listening to right now and make Bill Clinton be holding them through some pretty basic Photoshop. And it's quite cool to me. I know it's kind of annoying because everybody's posting it, but I kind of just like seeing what people are up to and listening to during the quarantine. And so I think it's really funny to see. But today what we're going to be doing is we are going to be not only doing albums, but taking another some other categories, such as albums, movies, TV, foods, etc. And we are going to be giving our Bill Clintons, which is our top four of those currently. So, Penny, let's just start with the basics. Let's hear your four Bill Clinton traditional albums.
So, for mine, I actually was like kind of torn when I was doing this yesterday. The one that Bill Clinton was holding for me was Love Is Rage 2 by Lil Uzi. The two below him was Abbey Road by the Beatles and Man on the Moon by Kid Cudi.
And love then, that one.
The one behind him was Melodrama by Lorde.
All right, excellent choices. Zach, let's hear your Bill Clintons.
I forget the order, what I put them, but I had Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. Very important album to me. Kids See Ghosts, that's Kanye and Kid Cudi. Another Kid Cudi album, Man on the Moon. That one was great. I love that album. And The Foundation by Zach Brown Band. You know I got to add a little country in there. Keep me relaxed.
I want to interject a little bit here. A funny thing regarding Bill Clinton. A lot of people have seen the new Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. And the funniest thing that I noticed was they had interviewed two former presidents, President Bill Clinton and President Barack Obama. And in their description under their name, so let's give you an example. Okay, so it's like they'll be interviewing Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the Bulls, and under his name he'll be like Bulls owner.
Chicago Bulls owner.
Yeah. And under Barack Obama's name it said former Chicago resident, and under Bill Clinton's name it said former Arkansas governor.
I love that. it makes it just raw, and it makes it like, you know, they're not just presidents because they're fans. You know, everyone's a fan of Michael Jordan, or, you know, everyone knows he's greatest of all time. You know.
Yeah. In the most popular census on Twitter, before we get back into our Bill Clintons, is, you know, this documentary, if you had any sliver of doubt that Michael Jordan was not the greatest player of all time, this will immediately correct that opinion. And I agree. Watching the first two episodes of the documentary, I think that it is a true testimony and demonstration of Michael Jordan's greatness.
Before we get back to the Bill Clintons, let me say one thing about it. Michael Jordan revolutionized the game. I mean, all the stuff you see, like those dunks and everything, there was none of that before Michael Jordan. He truly revolutionized the whole NBA. The NBA would not be anywhere it is without him.
Absolutely. Nowhere near. Exactly right.
All right, let's get back into this, yeah. Ollie, let's hear your albums.
Okay, so my albums have changed, okay? Today we were like, all right, what are we going to be talking about with Penny? And yesterday, the albums that I said were Separation Sunday by The Hold Steady, Exile on Main Street, Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder, and Kid A by Radiohead, and that has since changed after I gave it some more thought. Obviously, these two have stuck. Separation Sunday by The Hold Steady is my favorite album of all time, and they're my favorite band of all time. And Exile on Main Street, my favorite Rolling Stones record. They're a close second to my favorite band of all time, but I've changed my last two. My third one is Rust Never Sleeps by Neil Young, one of my all-time favorites. Love every song on that record. It's a no-skip type of record. And my last one, I'm going to stick with Stevie Wonder, but I have since listened to this record and decided that I like it more than Inner Visions, and it's Fulfillingness's first finale. So those are my four.
Those are good four. I like how you have at your number one, like, not that much of a famous band, The Hold Steady, but you really listen to them and you like the music.
Love them.
You know? Yeah.
If you like rock and roll, go listen to The Hold Steady.
Yeah. So we're going to move on. We're going to keep doing Bill Clinton's, but we decided why not do more. Let's go with movies. Penny, let's hear your Bill Clinton movies.
Movies, I had Clueless.
Great movie.
Classic.
Great movie.
Classic. I had Legally Blonde.
Another great one.
I had the Goonies.
It's a classic.
I don't know why I like that movie so much, but I do. And for the last one, I was kind of torn. I really liked the movie. I've seen a lot of good ones recently, because I've just been watching, you know, a lot of movies. You know, I saw Little Women. It was phenomenal. I just saw Call Me By Your Name. So probably one of those possibly will be one of my favorites.
There you go. Zach, let's hear yours.
So, my number one, gotta be Scarface. That movie is amazing. I love that movie. Tony Montana, I love the character. Al Pacino's the man. Number two, The Shawshank Redemption. That movie just hit different. That movie was awesome. The culmination at the end, it was just amazing. Number three, The Wolf of Wall Street, Leo DiCaprio.
Top 10 for me.
I forgot about that one. I love that movie.
He does a great job in that. And I just had to add this one at the end. It's not as a serious of movie, but, you know, you got to put it in there. Step Brothers. I mean, I've watched that movie hundreds of times. Still makes me laugh.
Great movie.
The movie's amazing.
Good list. Great list. Great list of movies. Great spread. And here are my four, okay? Personally, I'm a lover of all things film, and I decided to go with the four movies that I could watch on repeat for the rest of my life and never get sick of. The first three are my three favorite movies, and the last one is just my favorite comedy of all time. It's amazing. So here we go. There Will Be Blood, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. It's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, go watch that. It's my favorite movie of all time. It's a fantastic movie. Daniel Day-Lewis gives a performance of the ages. Next is Pulp Fiction, directed by Quentin Tarantino, my second favorite movie. It stood as my first for a very long time until I watched There Will Be Blood for the second time, and I realized that I enjoyed that a lot more. Third is Magnolia, also directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, also on Netflix. And my last one is my favorite comedy of all time, Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. If you have not seen this movie, I do not know what you are doing. It is so funny. Every single scene makes me die of laughter.
The Lonely Island, Andy Samberg. If you haven't seen that movie, you have to go check it out. It's a phenomenal movie. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
We're going to get into TV shows. I'll list mine, my Bill Clinton TV shows. Number one, The Office. That That show makes me laugh every time. I've rewatched it and rewatched it again and again and again. Michael Scott, love the character. Steve Carell is amazing. Dwight, Rainn Wilson. I mean, it's just amazing. Ollie, I know I just got you to watch that show, watch The Office. You were a hater at the beginning. I know you didn't want to watch it, but then when you finally got on, I don't think you regret it, right?
Absolutely not. It is one of my favorite shows.
Okay, I'm back.
Number two for me, I would say Breaking Bad. Vince Gilligan, the director, he did a great job. I mean, that show's amazing. I was just into it the whole time.
Absolutely.
Number three, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Great show. And the last one, it's not really a TV show, but it is Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me laugh every time. It's amazing. I love the guests. You know, Pete Davidson is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a... Kenan Thompson's really funny.
Kenan.
All
right, I'm going to go next. We have a very similar list, okay? I am not a huge lover of television. I've watched a bunch of great shows, but I'm more of a movie guy. But here are my four, okay? Number one, we got Breaking Bad. This is a show that I've seen countless times and is... I wouldn't really want to watch any other show if I were to pick one show. It's not necessarily my favorite show of all time, but it is just the most entertaining and well-done show I have ever seen. Next comes The Office. Zach obviously explaining that I was a hater of The Office, partly due to its fan base, but I have fully burned my bridges and am a Office supporter and lover. Next comes The Sopranos, one of my favorite shows of all time, an amazing, amazing show. Like Breaking Bad, it's amazingly well done and very entertaining and gripping. And last, my favorite show of all time, Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you know me, I reference Curb multiple times a day. It is one of my favorite shows. I've seen it three times. It is fantastic. The new season was great, and I love every episode, and it's hilarious. Larry David is one of my heroes. Penny, let's hear your TV shows.
Okay, I love Criminal Minds. You probably have seen a few episodes. It's really good. It's just like, it's super like on the edge of your seat, like creepy, just a really good show. I also love Friday Night Lights, so it's...
I watched that
probably,
one.
You might have seen it, but it's like All American, basically. Like, it's basically exactly like All American, but it's just like a little bit older, and it goes into a little more realistic topics. So, like, obviously, like, if you've seen All American, like, All American, it's very, like, entertaining, but it's also not that... It's, like, kind of not realistic. Because just a lot of things that happen, I think, are just, like, very, like, I don't know, unrealistic, obviously. But for Friday Night Lights, it's dealing with a lot of things, like that are very real in the sense of where they live. Because they live in Texas, a really small town. So they're dealing with politics. Like,
right.
And, you know, poverty. And, yeah, stuff like that. So it's really interesting. And then third, Gossip Girl. Obviously, one of my favorite shows. And then my favorite show of all time, it would have to be One Tree Hill. This show's about these two brothers, but they're estranged because one of the brothers is rich because the father of both of them picked one to raise and the other one is like abandoned by him. And so it's kind of just like about like their story because they both also play basketball. So basketball, obviously, I love basketball. So it's a really big part in this show. And yeah, it's a really good show.
All right, let's move on to the last category. What are your Bill Clinton of foods?
Should I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably say, you know, my favorite food of all time. I mean, it's a dessert. I think ice cream. Like, I will never get tired of ice cream.
Yep, I'm with you there.
I completely forgot to put desserts in mine.
Yeah, like it's just like my favorite. I don't know why I love it so much, but like obviously, who doesn't? There's so many flavors. This is really weird, but I love roasted broccoli. I don't know why I like it so much, but I literally love it. It's just so good, and Caesar salads are gonna be on mine too. And then fourth is gonna have to be French fries, because you know, never can
good
go wrong
pick
with those.
So, good yeah. pick
that is a yeah. great list.
Zach, that's what's phenomenal. Yours?
So I did pizza first. Shout out to Dave Portnoy. One bite, everyone knows the rules. I did pizza and then steak. Who doesn't like a good steak? Cheeseburger. And then my next one, it's like two foods, but it's one meal. Spaghetti and meatballs.
Amazing. Okay.
Can't go wrong with that. You got to sprinkle some Parmesan on there. You know.
Great list as well. My first two are the same. Pizza. Pizza is the greatest food of all time, no matter what anybody says. Obviously, shout out to Portnoy. Day trading, Davey. Pizza is the greatest food of all time. Classic cheese. You can't go wrong. I recommend trying the place in Chicago, Peace, for an amazing thin crust. As far as deep dish goes, I really like the joint Mai Pai and Lou Malnati's. You can't go wrong with. Next up is steak. Love steak. You know, you can't go wrong with some steak. I could eat it every day of the week. It's amazing. Just a nice grilled steak. Especially if, you know, you're going for something fancy, go to Joe's in Chicago. Yeah. Third is Oreo milkshakes.
Oh.
My personal favorite dessert. Can't go wrong there. So consistently amazing. Slather it with whipped cream. Can't go wrong. And the last one is a very underrated food in my book, shrimp fried rice.
Oh, my God. Yes. I completely agree.
It is, I think, my favorite just like veg out food, because it's so good and so like, I don't know, it's just amazing. Every bite is like, fantastic. It's a party in my
all
mouth.
Things Chinese food, yeah. The thing about pizza is, I love pizza obviously, but this is my problem is, I'll eat pizza, but I take off the cheese and I just don't count that as eating pizza because I take off the
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah, that's not eating pizza then.
Yeah, because I hate deep dish, and I'll eat thin crust, obviously. Like, I think it's so good, but I just, like, don't like the cheese on it.
All right. That's very outlandish, wow. But I'll take it. Take it for what it is. Okay. Before we wrap this thing up, Penny, let's hear a little bit about your personal experience with COVID-19 and how you're dealing with it.
So, basically, you know, when it started out, I thought it wasn't – one. I definitely didn't think it would be a big deal because, you know, like, obviously – I don't really like think so much into things. So when I heard about it, I was like, oh, it's probably just going to be like a lot like the flu. We'd get it. Maybe it's not a big deal. We'd still carry on with our lives. But then it started getting like into a bigger deal. Obviously, we're quarantined now. And so basically what I'm trying to do is like I work out usually every day. I'd like try because I have to get moving because I find that I'm like super lethargic just all the time. Like, I'm just, like, tired. I don't really have that much motivation because, obviously, for, like, just in general, like, we can stay in bed all day. Like, there's nothing stopping us. And then, obviously, for schoolwork, we can't get graded negatively. So, there's no motivation there. Like, I'm not complaining, but, like...
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's
really
no motivation.
I am so unmotivated to do anything. And it just
I mean
makes,
the only thing go on
it oh, just makes every little thing so much harder for some reason, and you would think that it's the opposite, right? We have nothing but time, right? We're stuck at home all day. You can't go outside. Well, at least you shouldn't be going outside, and you have all the time in the world to do whatever you need to do to, you know, to make yourself feel better. The thing is, I'm now waking up at like 1 p.m. and by the time I wake up, I roll over, grab my phone, and then just immediately start watching television. And then by the time that's over, it's 5 o'clock, time for dinner. And you eat dinner, and then you go back to sleep. It's
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Time but, flies when you're looking at memes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's where I am. What else?
I mean, the only motivation I have is the AP test. Because, I mean a bunch of our listeners are probably taking AP Human Geo. That class is freaking hard. It's a lot to cover. Like,
I'm not even motivated for that, I'm going to be honest. Like,
Sam,
it's difficult because it's so boring.
Yeah, you know? I'm, like, trying to do it, but, like, I really can't. And I feel like it's also, like, okay, when it's a nice day out, you know, I see more people than I would on, like, a non-quarantine, like, if we weren't quarantined.
Yep.
And if it was a nice day, no one would be walk. Like, some people would be walking outside, but barely. But now I see when it's a nice day and I'm walking around, maybe with my sister, I see, like literally, like, a crowd of people just, like, on my street, you know, walking around. Like, obviously, like, we have to get outside, but I feel like it's, like, there has to be a balance because I feel like everyone just, like, goes out at once. Do you know what I'm saying?
It has been nice weather.
Yeah.
In Chicago. Yeah, it sucks because it's hard to keep people inside, especially when it's great weather.
Absolutely.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
All right, Penny, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
This is great, Penny. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Our next guest, we got Benny Levine, my cousin Benny, here to talk about some high school hoops. Benny, say what's up.
All right, what up? Thanks for having me on. I'm super hyped.
Sweet. We're going to be talking about some high school hoops. Benny, you want to plug your Instagram or anything?
Sure. It's Benny.Levine, BENI.LEVINE.
You heard it here. Benny Levine, everybody go check him out on Instagram. Once again, while you're doing that, go follow us at the 312 Show on Instagram. We're going to get into this in just a second, talking about some high school hoops. But Benny, let me just preface this with are you a basketball player yourself?
Yeah, I am.
Nice, man. And, you know, what's gotten you into following college hoops? I mean, high school hoops.
I mean, it's kind of cool because it's like you want to be there, especially in like the next couple years. That's why I feel like you can really connect with them. And it's like it's a fun environment because it's easy to follow. And the players are so skilled that it's just like, it's as competitive as the NBA. I feel more hype around it because all the decision making, all the plays, all like the ball is life, overtime, they go to the games, and it's like a fun environment when you're there.
Absolutely, man. Personally, as a high school freshman, I enjoy following some of the guys that are my age because when I'm going to be in college, they're also going to be freshmen in college, and I'll be able to follow them, hopefully, while they're in college. Yeah. So, like, guys like, you know, Bronny James, Mikey Williams, guys like that are so cool to follow just because they're the same age as me and Zach, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously you're in eighth grade, but next year you should really, like, some of the, you know, ninth graders that are in the limelight, like some of these kids, you should really start following them because, you know, you're going to be like, hey, we're the same age, you know?
Yeah, they're on the come up.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into this. You've obviously scouted a bunch of people. I'm looking at your stuff right now, and you've put in a bunch of good work on scouting some of the, you know, limelight players that are, you know, have recently committed to where they're going to go. So let's hear what you got.
All right. Well, first of all, like the pretty much, you know, they had like the Geico National Championships. It's so open every year because there's so many great teams with great players. But like the biggest area I feel for obvious reasons is in California. And I say that because it's got the top schools in the country. That's like the main focus pretty much for anything in the world, movie-wise, music-wise, especially high school basketball. And I have three particular guys I want to talk about, one of them being Josh Christopher, who just committed to ASU Tuesday night.
Yeah, he committed to ASU over Michigan, UCLA, and Missouri.
Yeah.
And he was 100% crystal ball to go to Michigan, so it was actually a surprise that he went to ASU. He went to ASU with his older brother.
Yeah. So he's a 6'5 shooting guard out of Mayfair High School. He, along with the rest of these guys, are McDonald's All-Americans, and they were invited to the Jordan Brand Classic, which unfortunately didn't happen because of the coronavirus. But he and Dior Johnson, they led a great team this year, and I felt they really had a strong chance at winning their division state championship just because the talent that they expressed on the court was surreal. So like Zach said, his final five were ASU, Michigan, USC, Missouri, and UCLA. The crystal ball, they kind of predict where the high school players will end up. They had him going 100% towards Michigan, which I kind of felt was a little off, but at the same time I could see because it's such a big school with so many great commits. So what happened was he felt he was torn between the choosing because he loved all the schools so much, and he really wanted to stay home in California, but he felt a stronger connection with the ASU coaches and players. And I think a big reason is because his brother, Caleb Christopher, is there. They played with each other throughout all of high school. You could see they had great chemistry together, and I feel that they were just like kind of a dynamic duo, and I feel they will be at ASU next year.
Great analysis, Benny. So I have a question about this whole thing. Do you think these players use this as a publicity stunt, like the whole shouting out all the colleges, and then they like get the followers on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot, and then just to make a decision to go to another school? Do you think it's somewhat a publicity stunt?
Well, let me interject really quick here. Freshmen in high school, you know, upcoming freshman basketball players like Bronny James, Limelight, he has 5 million followers on Instagram. Okay, obviously his dad is LeBron James. Okay, LeBron James is one of the best basketball players of all time, and he is an icon and is incredibly famous. But he's a 15-year-old with 5 million followers. Mikey Williams, let's see how many he's got. Mikey Williams, 2 million followers.
I'm more talking about like the recruiting, like when they're seniors and signing with schools. And like
I'm just saying, like if you got 5 million followers on Instagram, Stanford, you know, UCLA, all these great schools, Duke, they're gonna see you, you know, and so these guys who are in the limelight should be using it to their advantage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. And so what they do is like Josh Christopher just tweeted the night before. He's like, I want to keep y'all waiting. Like, he wants people to be on edge. So it's like more. That's why I love it so much, because it's like fun. The buildup is fun, and it's like it's just fun to watch them like go through the whole recruiting process, watch their visits, watch their highlights. And I feel that the publicity does matter, because the schools will look at it as like, is he in it for the followers, or is he in it because he wants to go to the school?
Yeah, and I mean, going on with the publicity, I mean, Josh Christopher was trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
Even amidst this whole coronavirus thing, Josh Christopher was trending with this whole, you know, I mean, that's nuts. That a high school kid deciding where he's going to college is trending on one of the biggest social media platforms.
So, Benny, personally, me and Zach, you know, are not huge followers of college basketball per se. I mean, we dabble in it, and like we like to follow so we know what's going on for March Madness. But personally, are you a college basketball fan? And if so, who do you root for?
Well, I always root for the Canes. They're always my number one school.
Who's up, baby?
But college basketball, it's more of like, kind of, if you're not a college basketball fan, then the only thing you'd really care about is March Madness. And I don't really follow it as much as I want to because there's other sports going around. But I definitely tune into March Madness. Whenever I'm with my grandpa, we always watch what's ever on. But not as much as high school and the NBA.
That's interesting that you say that. Personally, me and Zach's best friend, Josh, is a big Michigan guy, and I'm looking at your scouting reports, and a lot of these guys, you know, are, you know, they want to go to Michigan, and you see it more and more every day, these guys opting out of their Michigan deals to go somewhere else. And so I don't really have that experience But I'm sure that'd be pretty heartbreaking to, you know, to witness a five-star recruit at the last moment decommitting. And I think that's also, like what you said, keeps it interesting, you know? Like, these guys are so unpredictable, you know, with their decisions, which is sweet. I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, 100%. It just happened. Isaiah Todd just decommitted from Michigan. He's a five-star recruit. People say he could have brought them a national championship, but here he goes going on to the NBA's G League. Or overseas.
Yeah, and we'll discuss that later in the episode, but let's hear some more scouting reports.
All right. So new today, Jalen Green at 12 p.m. Central just announced he's going to go play in the G League with up-and-coming high school basketball players so he can get on the way to his NBA dream. I thought that is just, like, such a cool thing to do because it's, like, the NBA is giving these high school kids who, one, need the money in case they need to, like, support their families, but, two, give them a chance to, like, really out themselves in front of, like, the NBA team scouts and what they're looking for. So with Jalen Green, he's also like a 6'5", 6'6", shooting guard, but he's an all-around player. He's the number one ranked player in ESPN's overall rankings for 2020. Again, he's a McDonald's All-American. And so what was interesting about his crystal ball, they couldn't really decide. He was really all over the place. They had, as of like 5 days ago, they had crystal ball. They had 64%. Chance of him going to Auburn to play with Sharif Cooper. They had an 18% chance of him going to Memphis, a 9% chance of him going to play at Oregon, and then they had an open 9% because it was just so unpredictable. So what happened with him is yesterday he finalized it to Auburn, Memphis, and the NBA G League, which was news to everyone. And so what happened then was he shocked the world by going to live out his NBA dream and missing the college experience, which I thought there's some negatives and positives. You don't get to play in March Madness. You don't get the March Madness hype, but you also have a better chance of making it to the league because you're surrounded by general managers and other players.
And also, he's getting paid in a range of $500,000. That's hard to pass up.
He's playing pro basketball. He's living the dream, you know?
He's playing pro basketball, and I think we're now going to see more and more players not going to college for college basketball. Because if you have an option to get paid and get NBA-style coaching, why go to college? It's just a waste of a year, in my opinion.
I mean, obviously, you could agree.
Some guys need college. Some guys like the guys that go 4 years. But these one and dones, I mean, there's no reason to go to college.
But you could also argue that these, you know, five star recruit one and done guys committing to college is like they're in the spotlight more than these guys playing pro. You can't, like they are. They're going to be competing in, you know, one of the biggest sporting events of the year. And, you know, these guys obviously are making money, but they're not in the limelight like these college guys are.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. I mean, you get the publicity of college.
And that's where high school basketball turns into more of like a personal level. Because some of these players, they came from nothing. They had nothing. Their like parents weren't around. They didn't have any money. And that's why they need to go to the NBA G League. So they can actually, like, provide for their families and get on that path to making money for them.
Absolutely. So that it's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting to see all these guys, what they're doing. All right. Let's switch gears just a tiny bit. Okay. Some of the biggest stories of the year are, one, obviously, LaMelo Ball playing overseas. Do you think he will be a lottery pick? Because a lot of people are saying right now that he is.
100%. His game, you could tell in high school, there was like a lot of built-up hype around him, and I didn't really see it. But when he started playing in like LeVar's league, you could see like he was becoming more of a developed player, sharing the ball, not like shooting most of the shots for the team. And then when he went overseas, he really like, became a guard that he needed to be. He's now sharing the ball. He's averaging, like, 6-7 assists a game, still scoring. Like, that's NBA point guard levels that he needs to be at to be a lottery pick.
He's playing like his bro.
And I think for – yeah. And for teams to pass up on that, I don't think it's a good move. And the publicity they'll get from that.
Yeah, I think there's sort of a negative connotation surrounding the Ball family. But I think that'll be interesting to see. Another guy is James Wiseman. What do you think is going to be going on with him?
I thought that was very unfair to take away because he was going to be the number one player in college basketball. Like, he had so much talent. But still, like, he posts videos on Instagram all the time of him working on his game every day, working out. So he should be a lottery pick. And I, again, think for teams to pass that up is a big mistake because he's – taller than most NBA players, he's stronger than most NBA players, and he's just a beast overall.
Yeah, I was excited for him. Let's see here.
Yeah, Memphis was going to be good this year.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning, or at the end of last season, like around this time last year, when everybody was committing, I was like, oh my God, all these guys are going to Memphis. They're going to be amazing. And then James Wiseman, obviously, you know, he was like a top five player coming out of last year's class going there. And I thought it was going to be super interesting to see them. Obviously, you know, with the whole James Wiseman fiasco, how that went down, you know, that's pretty obviously heartbreaking for James Wiseman. You know, if he chose to go to college, he might as well make the most of playing in college.
Yeah.
But hey, sometimes it's how it works, and especially, you know, now with no March Madness and the season obviously being cut short. I feel bad for all these guys that we're talking about right now, you know?
Because it's like I listened to the episode with Trevor, and he said it's an opportunity for these guys to really, like, show what they've done the whole year. Because obviously everyone watches March Madness, and I'm not sure everyone, like, follows it throughout the year, like myself. But March Madness is really the big stage, and it's, like, kind of heartbreaking that some of these kids that had NBA talent are just not going to get it, and they're going to have to go play overseas and work even harder to make it to where they want to be.
100%, 100%. Obviously, you know, me and Zach being from Chicago, we live in a city where we have the high school of Whitney Young and the star player DJ Stewart, obviously DJ a Stewart McDonald's All-American Burger Boy kind of guy, Jordan Brand Classic invite. It's pretty amazing to watch him, especially because, like, he goes to a school where me and Zach have friends that go there, you know, that see him, and he's going to be a star. You know, he's obviously committed to Duke. But it's just fun to watch. It's fun to watch people like that. And I get what you're saying. Like, it's awesome to, you know, follow these kids, especially because they're so close, obviously in age. But also, like, DJ Stewart, you know, he's living in the same areas as me and Zach, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's...
We got a guy down here like that, or up here too. His name's Jalen Johnson, also committed to Duke. I've had the opportunity to watch him play three times, all against my high school. He's outscored us by like 25, 30 points every game. Like, he's a beast. He's a 6'9 power forward, scoring the ball 40 times a game. Like, that's just, it's insane what these kids can do at this level.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Another player, since we were, like, going back on the topic of these young guys, like Bronny and Mikey, Imani Bates, sophomore, won Gatorade men's player, like, high school basketball player of the year.
First sophomore to ever win that award. That's a very prestigious award. That's the top high school basketball player in the country. And obviously, the high school talent is kind of all around in America. So you see how... like, just how good of a player he is at 16 years old. Like, that's nuts. He's a year older than you guys. What is it, like 6'10"?
Yeah, something like that.
Doing crazy, crazy things on the court. And it's just cool to watch, like, as he grows, how much better he's going to get and how he's going to progress as a player.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I think that's obviously what you're saying, you know, the joy of watching these kids. They're close in age, and they're just dominant. You know, that's sweet. I think that's sweet to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask you, okay, obviously we'll circle back to, you know, your scouting, but let's move a little closer to the draft. I don't know if you necessarily have been analyzing the draft yet, but what are you thinking? What do you think for the top five?
The NBA draft, I think I like LaMelo. I mean, it depends what team has the number one pick. I think LaMelo Ball at number one, or even who's the Georgia guy?
Anthony Edwards,
Obi Toppin.
He was a beast all year.
I also like my guy. I think he's going to go to the Knicks. The Knicks won't like it, but they'll like it when he starts playing. Denny Avdija from Tel Aviv. That dude's a beast. I feel like he's going to go to the Knicks, and the Knicks are going to boo it because no one really knows him.
Like a Porzingis kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, this dude's great.
What about you, Benny?
Yeah. Well, I got to put Anthony Edwards in there. He was dominant all year, going against guys that are a foot taller than him, still dunking on them. Like, that's crazy to me. That's crazy. Obi Toppin, obviously, out of Dayton. He was a star all year. He was top four finalist for the National College Award this year. Then you got James Wiseman, obviously, because he got cut short. But then there's, like, the question about LaMelo Ball, Cole Anthony, Nico Mannion. Like, these are all point guards that have the talent, but I'm not sure they're there yet. LaMelo Ball, yes, but Cole Anthony and Nico Mannion obviously are great talents, but I'm not sure they're at the NBA level yet.
It's the same thing as last year. I feel like there's a talent drop-off at around the 8 or 10 spot. There's a bit of a drop off, but I think we always see guys coming from later rounds getting rookie of the year, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an open field. I mean, these guys have an opportunity to show their skills on a national level every night.
Yeah. 100%. And that actually leads me into my next question for you, Benny. Who are your dark horses? Not necessarily for the NBA, but college and high school going into the NBA, who do you think who's a little bit slept on, who has the potential to do great things?
I got to say it. I don't think he's that slept on, but no one will want him. It's Denny Avdija. I really think that he's not slept on, but people don't give him the credit he deserves because he's an overseas player and people don't really, like, know his game. But I've watched his highlights. He can ball out. He can shoot lights out. He's tall. He's just dominant all over the paint. And then my two, like, guys that need more recognition, I think, are Marcus Howard and Miles Powell. Marcus Howard out of Marquette and Miles Powell out of Seton Hall. Those two dudes, they shoot lights out. Like, I watch every Marquette-Seton Hall game. They just go back and forth trading three-pointers. And they have them marked, like, late second round. And I think that they can be, like, a huge change to an NBA team for shooting. Because a lot of these guys, they don't have, like, one sharpshooter who can give them a three when they need it. Only, like, the top teams really have that one guy that you know can knock it down. I know these two guys can do it, and I think they deserve more hype for it.
All right, you heard it here first from Benny LaVine. There you go. All right, Benny, we're going to close this out. I just wanted to ask you, you know, as a basketball lover and just as a sports lover in general, how is, you know, the coronavirus affecting you personally and your love for sports?
It really sucks because our baseball season was just starting. You know, that's always been my first love. It always will be. I'm playing high school baseball next year, and it's just like it hurts because, you know, you're excited. This is my last year. Basketball is obviously done, but one of my friends has an outdoor court that we planned on having like a little league of our own this year. And we can't do it anymore because obviously we're quarantined, and I was just really looking forward to doing that. And then my biggest thing would have to be my camp that me and Zach go to, Camp Horseshoe. It's literally an all-day sports camp. Like, you do that, and the competitiveness, it's just a great environment, and if that happens, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because, you know, sports is like a part of my life. I struggle without it.
Evidently, I mean.
So, yeah. So it just hurts, but we're going to get through it, and we're going to go back stronger than ever. Yeah.
Last thing before you go, I want to talk about the NBA a little bit. You're a huge Bucks fan, big Giannis guy.
Yeah.
You're from Milwaukee. I mean, what were your predictions for the championship? What do you think? We've talked about it a bit. I know you're some of your picks, but I want to hear it.
Well, here's the controversy. Everyone thinks that LeBron is an unstoppable dude in the playoffs, and I completely agree with that. But when you take out Giannis and LeBron out of the mix, I believe that we've stopped Anthony Davis before. We can stop him again. I don't think he's a problem. But when you put the Bucks bench compared to the Lakers bench, the Bucks bench is half our points. Like, George Hill is coming off having the best three-point percentage in the league.
The Bucks are the most well-rounded team I think I've ever seen.
They have everyone. They have no bad players. Like, one person doesn't do their job, someone else can immediately pick it up. And they have the chemistry. That's why I think that they would have won the championship. Unbiased opinion, because the bench, and a lot of people sleep on it, but when it comes down to it, you have Giannis and LeBron locking down each other, but then it comes out to what other players can step up, and I think that's what the Bucks have compared to the Lakers.
Absolutely, that's very insightful and true. You know, that's good stuff. And I think, yes, if the NBA season resumes, I think the Bucks are my pick for exactly those reasons. So yeah. I'm with you guys. I'm rooting for the Bucks. They're my playoff team. Thank you so much, Benny, for coming on the show. Thank you so much for, you know, articulating what all your awesome research and scouting and analysis on high school, college, and the NBA. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're welcome back on anytime. Thank you all so much for listening. We really had fun recording this double episode. Big shout out to Penny and Benny for coming on the show today. We were really happy with how this one turned out. Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed. This was the 312 Show.